Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Heartfree Iran's Impact 32 podcast, here to share how our ministry and partners are bringing the Great Commission to Iran and beyond. Coming up, we have Myra Yazdari, producer for Mohabbat TV, along with Yelena Kashish Abnus, who is also a producer for Mohabbat TV, where we will be discussing the current status of women in Iran. Welcome to Heart for Iran's Impact 32 podcast. Heart for Iran Ministries is a partnership of over 100 ministries that work together to spread the gospel to Iran and beyond. For those watching us on YouTube, you'll see that we're here in our studio recording. Our topic today is discussing the current status of women in Iran. This is an important topic that needs to be discussed, so we've invited two Iranian women to help shed some light on what is happening and how we can help. First, we have Myra Yazdari, who is an Iranian-American journalist and a television producer for Mohabbat TV, where she creates television programs for Farsi-speaking audiences, as well as reporting Iran's most recent events. Also joining us is Yelena Kashish Abnus, who was born in Iran into an Armenian Christian family that had to flee Iran in 2008 because of the persecutions they faced as Christians. She's been a born-again Christian for over 15 years and is a wonderful mother and wife. She's also a programming operations specialist for an international TV program. Ladies, thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Thanks for having
us.
As a side note, I am personal friends with both Myra and Yelena, and I'm just really excited to have this conversation with you to unpack what is still going on in Iran and to showcase the role that we can play as women and as this ministry to just raise awareness and be a blessing to the women in Iran. So thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's such an honor.
So to unpack, we did have a podcast where we were discussing what was happening with the rioting with Asa Amini, you know, the death that happened there. And so there's still a lot going on in Iran. And so that is what I wanted to talk to you about first. Can you give us an update on the status of the women in Iran? Can you tell us, are they still fighting? What does that look like? Or have they stepped back and kind of removed themselves from the fighting because of the stress involved with it?
Heather, I think as we just want to give a big picture of how it started and where it is going, let's just say that we all heard that on September 16 of 2022, an Iranian woman named Mahsa Amini was killed in the hands of morality police because of the just wearing improper hijab. And after that, this death didn't just get silenced. It also continued in people, and they started rising, and they started protesting about this death, and they wanted they wanted to hear their voice. And also now that this isn't happening, it's beginning of an uprising, and it's now a full-blown movement against the current regime that is led by Iranian people. And many other oppositions from outside of Iran also are putting their voice to this matter. But it is now it's recognized as a revolution. It's not only an uprising. Yeah. And we also need to add that there's a slogan that is going on. It's women, life, and freedom, which we already have the sign back here. But it's not only highlighting women. It's basically you see that men and everyone is just rising to this voice, and they want to fight this fight to just change and make a lot of changes in the country.
Yeah. So Iranians have been fighting against the regime since day one of formation of the regime. It's only now, excuse me, that their voice is being heard by the Western media. It's been always ignored, or because of the regime's powerful propaganda in the West, in the Western media, it was like nothing is happening. But women, alongside men, have been fighting against the regime from day one that the regime was founded. So that's why it seems like they are just rising now. But it's been a constant battle peaceful fight against the, the tyranny, the corrupt regime. I want to add that since we talked last time, they are fighting in different ways. It's not, a revolution is not always being on the streets. It's not always taking to the street. It has different phases. Now it's Nowruz, Persian New Year in Iran. So what people are doing, the families that their children were killed, they are going to the cemeteries, to their children's graves, and recording videos that we will, we won't let your blood be wasted. We will say your names in the day that we get the freedom, and they are posting these videos on social media. And then those that were blinded by shooting rubber bullets directly to their eyes, they are just sending pictures and videos on their social media platforms saying, we don't regret what we did for our country, and we are so proud, and we will ultimately win. So the fight is going on. It's not, maybe it is a little slowed down and is taking in other ways because of the crackdown, because of the executions. They executed four young men. It is called like a women-led revolution, but it is more men that were killed than women. I want to add this also, Iranians in the Iranians diaspora, Iranians in the West are supporting and getting united like never before. You see like hundreds of thousands of Iranians all over the world taking to the streets and supporting their fellow citizens. So we should count them as well as a fight, because vast majority of Iranians outside of Iran are also victims of this regime. Like the two of us, we had to escape the country because we didn't have, because our lives were at risk because of just our opinions, just our beliefs, and
And I think the difference is, Mara, when I was in Iran, I remember that I was feeling like always pressured as a minority, and I was I did not know even my fellow sister and brother on the street. They had the same opinion, but because of regime, their voices has been put down. But now that I see everyone is gathered together and they have this voice, it just gives me, it warms my heart to see that, I was not alone. I was not alone at that time. The people didn't have the courage to just, rise and say the words. But now that they do, it just warms my heart and it just makes me happy.
Yeah, it's this beautiful unity that, it never was like this. We never were this united against the regime and for one cause, and that's to have basic human rights and freedom that we are practicing it, we're having it here in this country.
Yeah, and that we can often, for myself, being an American that was born and raised here, the freedoms that are afforded to me sometimes can be taken for granted until you see what has happened. 6 months ago, the murder of a beautiful young woman just because she wasn't wearing her hijab correctly. And here we are 6 months into it, and there is still a lot of traction on this, and the women are still taking a stand, but the men are standing with them too. Something that I wanted to ask you both about that was shocking to me was, it was confirmed through the news channels that the Iranian government has been poisoning Iranian schoolgirls. Can you explain to me, as a Westerner, can you explain to me why is that happening to these schoolgirls? Over 1,000 poisoned.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. There are different theories, but one of them is to drive the attention away from the uprising, the revolution, and the other is the supreme leader. Earlier on in September, that the widespread protest was happening, he said in one of his speeches that these teenagers, these students, and these school kids have to face consequences and punishments. So some says that that is the punishment that Supreme Leader literally asked for. And it's not only schoolgirls. At least two school boys, two boys' school were attacked as well, and some metro stations, subway stations. And on the first day of Nowruz, or second day, it was in a wedding that 10 women were poisoned the same way. So it's been the most, the first thing that everyone agrees on is to draw attention from and to scare these teenagers that rise against the regime to, you will face consequences.
Yeah. And I don't think it just stays on the school, because I was you know, listening to news, and I heard that also university going girls are also being poisoned as well. So it's very terrifying to know that you send your, you know, kids to go to get education, but they just being poisoned and being sent back. And there's a lot of, I mean, hospitals and government just doesn't, they're just escaping to just give a right answer to that situation.
You know, it's in Iran, we've lived, nothing could happen without government having control on. Yeah. So who is having access to this poisoning gas that government is not aware of? That's you know, that's not the case in Iran.
Yeah, and when you think big picture about what we're talking about, this is about women that were taking a stand for freedom, for just rights, normal rights that belong to any human being. And now they've taken a stand, and now we're seeing the result is now they're being poisoned, and it's not just schoolgirls, it's men too. And I have a follow-up question for that. My question to you is, do you feel like the Iranian fundamentalists, such as the Taliban, are trying to control what they think women's roles are through this poisoning, as a trying to provoke fear into these women? Do you feel like it is the fundamentalists that are trying to just control them and try to put them back in the box that they've put them in? Women belong in the home. Women don't need education. Do you feel like that's why we're seeing the poisoning now with these individuals?
Yeah, it can be, because, you know, women has been one of the first targets of the regime since 1979, that they took power, to control their hair, to control their body, not just because of wearing hijab or not wearing hijab. It's just, when you control women and society, you can control the entire society. So when you abuse their women's right, you're, you know, abusing and taking all other freedoms from everyone in the country.
Yeah. Yelena, I know that as a mom, you're a mom, I'm a mom, I know that as I saw on the news that these innocent children were being poisoned because they were taking a stand for what they believe is, they have a right to freedom, and they took a stand and then they're getting poisoned. I know as a mom, that really shook me. And I thought, what would I do as a mom? And then it raised another question, because again, I'm from the West, I'm an American. It made me think, how do moms in Iran, how are they allowed to respond to this? Are moms in Iran, are they in a place of authority where they can pull their children out of school? Or is that something that the husband is responsible for? Like, what is the role? And for you as an Iranian mother, how did that make you feel when you saw that and you heard that innocent children were being poisoned?
First, it is really hard to imagine the situation, and you have to be really in that situation, in that environment, to feel exactly what they're feeling. But still, as someone who is sitting back and watching this situation, and knowing that you were there sometimes and you went to the school over there, it's really break my heart, and it's sad, and it make me angry to know that those innocent kids are, sent to school to learn, to educate, but has, you know, just coming back poisoned, and that is really annoying, and it just makes me angry. But I think it gives the woman to take the right of pulling their kids, because I know some of the mothers, they pulled out their kids from the school. They want to just homeschool their kids, so they have that right. But still, I think government is fighting this situation, because they say that this is not their fault. And I'm thinking, as an American, now I consider myself American mother. I send my kids to school, even smallest thing happen, I can find someone responsible. But knowing that something this huge is happening in Iran, but no one is responsible for that, that's really sad.
I want to add something. I don't know if you saw that video was going viral, that a mom is demanding response from the school's officials, and the security forces are pulling her from her hair and putting her in a car and taking them away. And that's what happens to a mom or parents that are demanding answer what has happened to our children.
Yeah, it's scary for sure, but we're not without hope, because we have Jesus. Yeah. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. We want to raise awareness about what is going on in Iran. And while what we're talking about today is very scary, we are not without hope, because we have a Savior. And our prayers are powerful, and they are effective. And the resources that we have, that we are sending to the people in Iran, it is building up their faith. It is encouraging them in the Lord, and it's helping them continue to take a stand for their rights. I want to wrap it up with this question, Myra, for you. As a young female having come from Iran, the Iranian government has so much control over the media, over television, over satellites. So for me, sometimes I'm wondering, is it as bad as it really seems? Is what I'm seeing on the news accurate? Is it worse than what I'm seeing? Because I know that the government in Iran is very, very controlling over what the people can see and what they can do and what they can broadcast. So because you are at the forefront of reporting what is going on in Iran, can you tell our audience, how bad is it really in Iran? And what are you seeing and hearing from your audiences?
Well, I am in touch with thousands of, you know, Iranians inside the country. They are in touch with me through social media. But here in the West, we open our cell phones, our laptops, and we are connected to the world. We're mm-hmm. connected to internet without any filtering. But in Iran, they have to use proxies and VPN to just text on WhatsApp. You know, just connect to Instagram. Everything, all the internet, everything is filtered. So they have to go through, but they find their way. They find their way to get the message out, to get their voice heard. So it is, yes, government is controlling. There's no free media or independent media in Iran. All the television, radio, newspapers, everything is controlled by the government, and it's in a close tie with the government. But it's through social media that this Gen Z young generation is seeing what is happening in the world, see what they could have, what they could be, how their country could look like, and they say, we want to be free. We want to have that freedom. And they are. It was through social media that we heard of the two female journalists that reported Mahsa Amini's death under the arrest. So, it's just, all this footage that is coming out from Iran, they are so worthy, because people are putting their lives at risk to send us, and they are, going through a lot of effort to get it out. So it's so pricey, every image, every footage and video that is coming out.
Good because and obviously my government can find whoever is sending
yes,
the...
Yes, and that's they how have. They have, through cameras and through footage that have been shared, they recognize face recognition that Chinese government is giving to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, we just think about the cost that they're willing to pay, mm-hmm. knowing that my post could be tracked by the government. But I am so desperate for change that I'm willing to do mm-hmm. what I have to do to raise awareness about what's going on in Iran. Friends, as we wrap up the podcast, I just want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for being a friend to Heart for Iran Ministries. I want to thank you for your support. And I want you to know that Heart for Iran Ministries partnered with Mohabbat TV. We are intentional about reaching the next generation, the millennials and the Gen Zs. We are creating content. We are sending resources to encourage these next generations that they are not alone. They are not forsaken. We are standing with them. We are praying with them, and we're sending them what they need to be the Christians that God has called them to be in a persecuted nation. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned. Over the next several months, we're going to be unpacking a lot more about women, life, and freedom in Iran, and you're not going to want to miss it. Thank you so much.